What up, everyone? This is your host, Joel Sid, and you are tuned into Crypto Chain X podcast. Right now, we'll be talking to Tony and Nitin, who are the founders of Decentralized Ownership Exchange. This is the part two of the interview. And in this part, we'll be talking to them about trust, why everyday investors or individuals who are buying crypto assets, why they should trust their exchange versus Binance or other ones. And usually these kind of exchanges, they come and go, and then there's nothing for the investors, right? The investors end up losing their money. So my last question to them was, why should someone just who's looking to just invest in these things, why they should use yours versus Binance that's been established for so long, or Coinbase? So let's hear from the founders of MoonX. So without wasting any time, let's do this.
You said that there's a cryogenic bunker that you guys are developing. Is that primarily going to be just for the servers, or that's also going to be your cold storage? And just like, and I'm giving example of Coinbase. So for example, right now, Coinbase is a centralized exchange, different model than you guys, but 20% of the funds on Coinbase is online, and those 20% of the funds are insured. Whereas rest of the stuff they have in cold storage. Are you guys going to be doing the same thing? And reason I'm asking is, when there are new investors coming into this space, the first thing they want to know is like, okay, how much of my money is actually insured? Like, there are a lot of exchanges coming up right now, and we put our money into it, and then they just disappear or they get hacked. Like, what kind of insurance that you guys have, or do you even have something like that?
Sure. Let me explain this particular thing. What's happening at this point of time, including Coinbase and Binance or whatnot. So what they're doing, they're just using a firewall architecture, and all the assets are just lying behind. And then, so they call it as a hot wallet. So In a real stock exchange, technology, it is called an omnibus.
Okay.
So that's how, those are the same thing. So you call in a different. So omnibus is something which is you cannot place below the layers, right? So in a technology, when you create an architecture, think about a software. When you create an architecture, you need to create several layers of it in any architecture. You think about it on the planet. Why these people are unable to create multiple layers? So that where there are several ways of protecting them. The first layer, which is vulnerable, exposed to the internet, where you cannot put any of the assets, then they will have a DDoS protection.
Yeah.
And then comes a network relay, then comes a physical relay, and then comes a data bus only. So where internet intrusions are impossible to happen. Why these people are unable to do that? Because their systems are extremely slow at this point of time. If they move one to two layers below, you're talking about one, maybe 10 transactions per second. Basically, they are going to be dead. They don't have a choice. They have to put their assets on the top of it. So when you say Coinbase has 20% and another exchange has 10% on the hot wallet and rest of the cold wallet.
Yeah.
To give you another idea, so cold wallet does not necessarily has to be in the crypto bunker, right? So you don't need to put your pen drive inside a liquid nitrogen where it's going to be dissolved. Maybe it won't work at all.
Fair enough.
You don't have to. Storage can be a pen drive, or it can be any storage device, a hard drive. That particular thing, you do not have to worry too much, as long as it is kept in a bank locker is also the
same. Exactly, as long as so kind of offline. System,
and the private keys, if you have it, then you can technically take it away. So why we are talking about a cryogenic bunker in an underground? So because we want to make sure all the nodes which are running across the world, which are kind of proof, right? So the best thing what we can do, when you keep it in an underground several meters down the earth, so it is protect you with the earthquake. Nothing happens out there. So you need to invest a lot of things on the technology. Other thing, if there is a nuclear war. So we want to protect, make sure that it works no matter what. Okay. So that's why we are going down.
Fair enough, fair enough. And won't there be issues with the air circulation and all that? Or are you guys going to have HVAC systems and everything that's going to take care of that? Because here some people, like I know, like they have tried to do the underground thing. And I guess they're not as high tech as you guys are. But they failed because of like the poor ventilation and their servers were just heating up. And we live in Canada, so they did in North Arctic area. And they just couldn't survive that long. So they have to kind of like bring him up. So I'm just asking, just out of curiosity, like.
Yeah, I understand. So if you're putting a regular server underground, it makes no sense, right?
Yeah.
So sense. In the physics, right, you have heat generated in one place.
Yeah.
You are just moving that particular heat to another place.
Exactly.
So that is cooling system.
Yeah.
So when you heat in an underground, you definitely need a lot of power.
Yeah.
To get those particular things. So if you're just keeping a Dell server or Nutanix or some sort, those sort of servers in the underground bunker, then you're committing a big mistake.
Massive
which has
mistake.
To be well-breathed.
Yes.
Yeah. And it has to be like a breathable place. And at the same time, it has to be ventilated.
Absolutely.
And you need to have a cold sink. You need to have a heat sink, sorry. So you would be able to run. So cryogenic servers are built in a very different way where it doesn't produce hot air.
Okay.
So these are two different ways.
Interesting.
So servers is not, cryogenic servers, not many people have an access to and they don't even know what they are. So that's why you're trying to do something which they don't know.
Makes sense. So what I was giving an example, that's just your normal server. That's not a cryogenic server. And just out of curiosity, like just in layman words, like what is a cryogenic server? Like, and how it's one of the things that you said, like it doesn't produce heat just like the normal servers do. But like, what about the energy requirements? Like, does it need more electricity to run or can... Is it more energy efficient? Like, I don't know much about it. So I'm just asking even the audience that's going to be listening to this, what is a cryo server?
Oh, yeah. Cryogenic server, in terms of technology, think about the internal parts. It's not much different.
Okay.
So you're placing much more computing power in one place. You're just power packing in one place. So and instead of having 100 servers, you're just pushing it into a one server.
Okay.
So in order... This is extremely hot, and I have to correct. I have to correct you. It does generate heat.
Okay.
That's why you need to put inside a liquid nitrogen. So
Okay.
You need a very, very powerful heat sink. So that's why you're putting in a nitrogen place. And you don't have a regular servers. What they do? They do they do generate heat. So usually, if you open a CPU, if you're coming from past 10 years, if you're using the computer, there a CPU. CPU, there will be a fan which will be running across and then you're removing the heat out of it. So in a server is not much different than a computer where you do have a lot of processors, DRAMs and a couple of other components where they do generate a heat. Cryogenic server is exactly the same components built in a different way where the heat will be taken out by the liquid nitrogen. That's the only difference.
Fair enough.
You need a lot of engineering expertise in it.
Interesting. Okay. I didn't know that. Thanks for educating me on that. That's perfect. Okay.
So
another thing I came across your white paper was MoonX beta cloud solution plan. So first of all, when can we expect that and what's that going to be?
The beta cloud solution is not much different than the existing platform.
Oh, okay.
So,
fair enough. Okay.
We wanted to check how does the cryptocurrency works.
Yeah.
And also, we want to check the user interface, user experience. So it is only for the invitation users only, where we have invited our top quality UX researchers and UI designers to test and see what are all the problems are happening at this point of time. When you put, if you give an average layman or a normal person, you just give an exchange, they think it's just a website and they don't know what's going on the back.
Mm-hmm.
So user experience is the most thing, even though you have a Rolls Royce on the back, and you have a Rolls-Royce engine and you have a good, lousy quality shell on the back, people don't like it. So if you have a Rolls-Royce body and a lousy engine, and then it also doesn't work. So you need to have a Rolls-Royce body and a Rolls-Royce engine in order to be top quality. So that's where we are doing the, we have the engine and we are building the body now.
Okay. So I'm guessing there'll be a lot of emphasis on the UX, like the user experience and UI, how it's all going to look like and how it's going to connect with your...
Mm-hmm. Okay. Definitely.
Fair enough. And I also saw something called MoonX Pro. Is that your custodian services? And I know it's down the line. Is it similar to the custodian services that Coinbase is now offering? Is that on similar line, or is more like a Coinbase Pro, which is more of a trading platform?
Not really. So MoonX Alpha version, we are going to give it to the public. Okay. MoonX Pro is the version where we will be combining the matching engine and all the other components with the UX so that it will be available for the public. So before that, you can think of a beta version 2, so where we will allow the regular users to jump in and do the actual transaction, which is called an alpha.
Interesting. Okay. Tony, anything on your side, anything you would like to add?
Yeah, for mining part, actually, so the mining, this kind of mining is different from the Bitcoin mining.
Yeah.
And also, not like some computers and they are computing and then real, they use power to generate some coins. And actually, so the mining, because the logic behind that is that we want to reward early users with their tokens. And as exchange product, so how we check whether the users they contribute to the system or not. And actually, it's based on like so whether they use our product or not. So seeing that, like, so and how we check whether the user product usually like for all the exchange, they charge a commission fee. So based on the transaction volume, the thing that we also charge a very small commission fee. The thing. In that, but we will finally reimburse the commission fee in the form of our MM token. So in this regard, so for this, and actually it's a free commission fee platform. But our user will get the tokens by doing real transaction on our exchange. And when they do the transaction, they are the first users, they contribute their ideas on how we adjust our product, how we improve the UI is a step-by-step and the learning progress for both of the users and us. And then actually we reward them with the tokens. They will become the token holders. So it's for this process, we call it the mining by transaction
mechanism.
This is a very special mechanism we adopt, like to reward the early users for that. Yeah, so this is for the mining part. And the other thing regarding for this is that so how we develop the community and in the future, the thing that right now, so what we really value that the users. And right now, because we don't only think ourselves and the crypto exchange product, if just from product perspective, we're just providing some transaction tool for people. The thing that what we want to achieve is far beyond that. So product is the first step which we need to do for our users. The thing that if we think about crypto right now, so a crypto exchange for this industry, crypto exchange is one of the most like active and circumstance for all the users, no matter it's investors or crypto enthusiasts or some ICO deals. And it's a place for all of them actually are heavily getting involved in. So regarding for this, so actually crypto exchange and their product perspective benefit a lot from all the kind of trading and active so volume and activity inside. And at the same time, we think of other like definition for Bitcoin. What's Bitcoin? Bitcoin so is the first one crypto asset and. And we think Bitcoin as a transaction way vehicle for new currency, right? Yeah, so we think Bitcoin as a transaction way. The thing that, so how many people do really use Bitcoin as a transaction way? Because a lot of disadvantage in Bitcoin, like the bit and a lot of the TPS and the very low for transaction. Yeah. And so right now we just think Bitcoin. So it's the first one. We use Bitcoin as your goat, right? in cryptocurrency. The users and the gold, so people just invest in them. Mm-hmm. And actually, the real cost and real value for Bitcoin should be transaction hub. Actually, because the length of some of the technology and the characteristic of it, we cannot achieve like this kind of user. We cannot achieve what Bitcoin should give to us. And then we go back to the exchange. What exchange is doing right now? Exchange actually providing in all crypto assets to a place to be traded with each other. Yeah. So actually, exchange are doing something which should be done by Bitcoin. Yeah. And then in the exchange, what's the hub for the exchange? So definitely product is one platform for people, enable people to do trading. But what is the hub? The hub is our platform token. Yeah. So actually, we are using our moon money, our platform token, and the trading hub for all the other crypto assets. So in this sense, actually, we are doing something which should be achieved by Bitcoin. So if we think about our crypto asset like this, actually, the definition of moon money is not just a platform token like a BNB. Platform token is just a utility token.
Yeah,
what
exactly.
We want to achieve is much meaningful and actually can become the transaction hub for all the other crypto assets. And the advantage for us is because we are targeting, we are using crypto exchange, we design a new way to enable all the other crypto assets to be traded on our exchange. And right now, we have different mechanisms, like we are free commission fee. Even we charge a very small commission fee, finally we reimbursement to the users and the token owners. And the other thing that not like Binance and the other very big exchange, we do not charge like listing fee for the crypto assets. So in this sense, actually we are pure free and open to all the other crypto assets. And at the same time, we provide the best technology, which can enable all the traders and the crypto assets to be traded very fast and very efficiently. And then and at the same time, we have our moon money. We adopt a lot of strategy to like people using our moon money to do like the transaction. So basically, all the crypto assets are treated in our platform, and in the future will also be open and become a decentralized platform. And the hub for this is our own crypto asset. And actually, moon money is doing something like Bitcoin, and also and more efficient and much better than Bitcoin. Yeah. So
this is something I want to say.
Yeah.
Nope, fair enough. So I just wanted to get the facts clear. So what you call MoonX is crypto to crypto or fiat to crypto exchange. So if I have US dollar, Canadian dollar, or I have euros, can I go and open an account? Or do I have to own some kind of crypto assets first? Then only I can go on MoonX.
That was it, guys. That was the end of part 2. And in part 3, we will continue from here to know if their exchange is crypto to crypto or fiat to crypto. Let me know what you guys think about this whole project. There are always going to be good projects. There are always going to be bad projects. So be objective no matter what you hear. So don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hate. Stay objective. And learn as much as you can about this whole industry, because this is going to be a future. The more you know, more benefit it's going to be for you, and you will have more tools in your toolbox. Be kind to yourself, be kind to others, and thanks a lot, guys. Wherever you are, have a wonderful day, wonderful evening. Cheers.